Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, July 10th, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho Transportation Board members say they don't think they violated new 80-mile-per-hour law that the legislature passed for southern Idaho interstates. Board visits U.S. 95 realignment viewpoint south of Moscow and goes to the Intermodal Transit Center. Governor Inslee supports increasing official fish consumption rate in Washington, which sets pollution rules. And Pullman School Superintendent says stringent rules have caused teacher shortage. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Members of the Idaho Transportation Board say they don't think they have violated the new law, which requires them to approve 80-mile-per-hour speed limits on certain rural interstate stretches in southern Idaho. The board voted in late June to delay putting up the new 80-mile-per-hour speed limit signs they had manufactured and planned to put up on certain stretches of interstate July 1st and 2nd. The public and the American Automobile Association's Idaho chapter expressed concerns just before the board decided to delay the higher speed limit. ITD board chair Jerry Whiteland told the spokesman review, "The board delegates a lot of things. However, we're going to have a review of that whole thing." Whitehead said even though he expected the board review written into the law to include public input, he doesn't think there needs to be public input in this case because the speed studies show drivers are already going 80 miles per hour on the stretches with posted 75 mile per hour speed limits. Senate Majority Leader Bart Davis of Idaho Falls, who wrote the law, said, "I believed that I was following the pattern of the past, and that is to say to the department, use your good judgment, use your good skills, and make a recommendation to the board. And then the board set those numbers. I honestly thought that I was going to get two good sets of eyes that would look at the issue, skilled professionals, and then as well the board. And so that's the reason the bill is written the way that it is." At four places in the law, it states the Transportation Board must approve the speed limit increases. The law also requires highway sections with 65 mile per hour speed limits to have their speed limits increased to 70 miles per hour. The Idaho Transportation Board stopped on Zietler Road south of Moscow this morning during their Northern Idaho tour. The location is a viewpoint for the two most likely routes for U.S. 95 for the 6 miles south of Moscow when the highway is expanded to four lanes in the future. The western route is considered unlikely because it would cost significantly more. The Zietler Road location provided a vantage point to view where the road would go with a central alignment or with an eastern alignment, which is the Idaho Transportation Department's preferred alignment. The board then went to the new Intermodal Transit Center on Sweet Avenue in Moscow, built with federal transportation grants. I spoke to Helen Yost of Wild Idaho Rising Tide about the Intermodal Transit Center in Moscow and the Highway 95 Paradise Ridge issue.
Well, it's a great resource for the community. However, those of us who, in a very dedicated fashion, use public transportation are a little upset that even since the building of this great hub that buses up to Coeur d'Alene and Sam Point have been canceled, and there still is no bus between Moscow and Pullman and between the Moscow-Pullman area and the Lewiston-Clarkston area. So it seems bizarre to spend $1.5 million on this new fancy facility in a nice location, not in the middle of downtown, as some of the speakers said, which in some cities, of course, is sort of a surly neighborhood. But, you know, it's there, but what services does it provide in terms of actual public transportation routes?
Now, the Idaho Transportation Board did stop on their way to the Intermodal Transit Center from the Port of Lewiston on Zietler Road in a big white bus. And when they came to the Intermodal Transit Center, all the speakers stayed on message and only spoke about the Intermodal Transit Center. However, there is a decision being made on the route of US 95 over, well, whether it'll be over Paradise Ridge in the eastern alignment or the more central alignment, which is more closely follows US 95. And on just Tuesday, the 1,200-page final environmental impact statement came out, written by the ITD. And so the board was looking at this, and they didn't talk about it there at the Intermodal Transit Center, but you encountered two women who went and met the Idaho Transportation Board up on Zeitler Road, looking at the various possible two routes for the Highway 95.
Right, and they were both pro the E2, the most eastern and highest up on Paradise Ridge alternative for this rerouting and expansion of Highway 95 between Thorn Creek and Moscow. They were on site. It's unclear whether they gave any kind of testimony while the board was up on Zeitler Road. However, the board was a half an hour late to the Intermodal Transit Center. It could have been at the Port of Lewiston or Zeitler Road that they got stalled. Some interesting information that came out from our conversations with these two women was that apparently there are folks along the C3 route, which is preferred by the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition and Wild Idaho Rising Tide and many other progressive Moscow residents, if the C3 route is pushed through, there would be lawsuits. Some of the landowners around that route, or so they threatened. We did have...
And the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition, and they are planning a lawsuit if the eastern route's chosen.
Well, we haven't had a meeting yet in reaction to ITD choosing, I guess somewhat predictably, the E2 route up on Paradise Ridge. So I can't really say for sure nor speak for the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition, as Wild Idaho Rising Tide is just a member organization. However, it's very likely, since that's what we've been fighting all along, is Highway 95 going up within very close range, especially in terms of weeds, to the last 1% of native Palouse Prairie throughout the whole region. So, yes, likely a lawsuit may arise out of this situation.
And what about the what did you find out about the two people who are in favor of the eastern route, who they say central people living near the central route might sue? And did you find out why they might sue?
The only argument we heard was that the C3 alternative route may cross and therefore break in half farmlands, that farmers would have to cross the road essentially with their various farm equipment. And that's the only reason we heard. One of the women lived on E2 and would lose her home, a trailer off Ede Road, and the other woman lived on C3 and has had problems with being sort of in a transient state in terms of the value of her property, since no one knows where this Highway 95 route is going to go at this point.
Okay, if the central route's chosen, they always say that it's more closely follows the current two-lane route of Highway 95, but there is a section where they will be going through for the new four-lane to straighten out. It's, you know, doesn't, and that is to the east. It's not, it's certainly not as far east as the Paradise Ridge eastern route. Did you have any indication that these people were using the incorrect data in the draft environmental impact statement about the number of residences and businesses that would be displaced, which was overstated for the central route and understated for the eastern route?
No, there was no indication that they were aware of that information, although one of them said that she had read the entire draft environmental impact statement. But we did point out to the secretary of the board in handing her brochures for each of the Idaho Transportation Board members that there were inaccuracies, and the board, being overseers of the work that ITD does, should be concerned that there might have been blatant dishonesty in the representation of how many businesses and homes would be displaced by the various alternatives. Apparently, they underestimated the amount that would be displaced with the E2 alternative and overestimated the amount with the C3 alternative.
Okay, and the promotional materials mentioned some of those same inaccuracies of who's displaced.
Yeah, and that was the main source of inaccuracies and the main tool for public outreach. There was a brochure and various maps and sort of the front pieces on the website and all, which have been very well highlighted by a lot of Forbes, as you probably heard in last night's KRFP evening report.
And so you both, let's see, the two women who were in favor of the Eastern alignment and a couple people who are against the Eastern alignment, you from Wild Idaho Rising Tide and somebody from the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition had conversations with an earnest Daily News reporter who was taking notes and so forth. And then what happened?
Well, somebody, I believe, associated with the Intermodal Transit Center asked her to please not cover the subject of the E2 preference in the final environmental impact statement because that it would be, you know, contentious and that the main emphasis should be on the wonderful new transit center that Moscow and various other agencies have put together. So there was a request not to cover part of the story, which was part of the reason why citizens were there.
And you spoke to the Idaho Transportation Board secretary about inaccuracies in the draft environmental impact statement, right, while you were there?
Yeah, and we also handed her brochures about all of our arguments against E2 and 4C3, and just pointed out that as citizen overseers of the Idaho Transportation Department, the board should be concerned that the state agency is presenting inaccuracies in its material, that it's actually misleading some of the people that would be most impacted by this rerouting and expansion of Highway 95. So we expressed all those concerns as well as our many other concerns about all the damages E2 would do to the last 1% of native Palouse Prairie, weeds spreading all the way to the top of Paradise Ridge, possible wildlife collisions, more ice fog, wind out of the west, bad weather up on a higher elevation E2 alternative, and just presented all that to her and told her, you know, that she should be concerned, that the whole board should be concerned about possible misconduct of the Idaho Transportation Department in putting together these documents that are supposed to be framing environmental impacts but misrepresenting those impacts.
And you gave her enough flyers for the rest of the board.
I did indeed.
Okay. That was Helen Yost of Wild Idaho Rising Tide speaking at the KRFP studios this afternoon. The 1,200-page final environmental impact statement for the U.S. 95 realignment south of Moscow has not yet been posted on the ITD U.S. 95 Thorn Creek website. The ITD was printing the final EIS on Tuesday. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow. Washington Governor Jay Inslee announced support yesterday for raising the state's official fish consumption rate, a number which has cascading effects on the amount of toxic pollutants industry and municipalities can put into state waterways. Inslee recommended raising the rate to 175 grams, or about 6 ounces per day. The current rate is about 30 times less. The Environmental Protection Agency has informed the state it would take over water pollution rulemaking processes in Washington if the state doesn't finalize the rules by the end of the year, a deadline that the legislature is likely to miss. Inslee's proposal was met with criticism from all sides. Boeing Senior Vice President of Government Options, Tim Keating, told the Associated Press Inslee's proposal was unlikely to help water quality and would be, quote, a substantial detriment to Washington jobs and economic health. A coalition of environmental groups has asked a Seattle federal court to force the EPA to step in and write the rules. Earth Justice attorney Jeanette Brimmer, representing the Puget Soundkeeper Alliance, said any protections brought about by the increased fish consumption rate is offset with other proposed rules that allow companies to opt out of complying and proposed rules that tinker with the cancer risk of certain chemicals. Hanford officials remain stymied about the cause of airborne pollution that has sickened at least 38 workers. Department of Energy spokesperson Tom Fletcher told the Associated Press officials have not found anything that would cause workers upper respiratory irritation and a metallic taste in their mouths after looking at 12,000 air samples taken at Hanford Nuclear Reservation this year. Although all the affected workers are back on the job, neither Fletcher nor Hanford contractor Washington River Protection Environmental Safety Manager Bob Wilkinson are dismissing the workers' claims of illness. Fletcher said he hopes an investigation by the Savannah River National Laboratory that should be complete by October will shed some light on what's causing the illnesses at Hanford. Weapons-grade plutonium was manufactured for four decades at the Hanford site, which now holds the largest quantity of the nation's nuclear waste. The workers who are reporting symptoms are working in an area of 177 underground tanks that hold that waste. Public servants across Washington are taking online and video courses on the state's public records laws in order to comply with a law that went into effect in July, or on July 1st, requiring all the state's elected officials and appointees have public records training. The law stems from a 2012 state auditor's report identifying 250 violations of the state's Public Records Act and open meetings laws. Violations included failures to keep adequate minutes at public meetings and board and council members reaching consensus on issues via email or out of view of the public. Washington Assistant Attorney General Nancy Cryer, who handles open government issues, said the Attorney General's office has prepared free online courses and a set of videos that provide the training. State Auditor Troy Kelly is also hosting a series of workshops around the state. Pullman School Superintendent Paul Sturm blames requirements imposed by the federal government on a growing teacher shortage across the state. A U.S. Department of Education report this spring listed 13 subject areas where the state has teacher shortages, including chemistry, early childhood special education, and mathematics. Sturm told the Daily News federal mandates based on standardized testing restrict local discretion and decision-making and run counter to the necessity of creating an environment in which teachers are treated as professionals who are accountable for their work as opposed to being mere laborers. Sturm's remarks come as backers of a ballot initiative to reduce K-12 class sizes in the state reported receiving $630,000 to promote the initiative. Supporters have submitted more than twice the number of signatures required to put the measure on the ballot. Most of the money, $350,000, was donated by the Washington Education Association. $100,000 came from the Public School Employees Union, and $83,000 was donated by the National Education Association. A 41-year-old Idaho death row inmate awaiting appeal died of an undisclosed illness yesterday. Idaho Department of Corrections spokesperson Teresa Jones said the death was not unexpected, and inmate Michael Allen Juahola had been under a doctor's care. Juahola was serving a 17-year sentence following his conviction for voluntary manslaughter in the 1993 gang-related stabbing death of Geraldo Malacara in Canyon County and a subsequent attempt to escape from the county jail. After serving 5 years of that sentence, he beat another inmate, 38-year-old John Alfred Williams, to death with a baseball bat in an exercise yard at the Idaho Maximum Security Institution at Kuna. Judge Deborah Bale subsequently sentenced Juahola to death for that killing. Colfax police believe a 33-year-old man who died at the city's pool yesterday suffered some type of medical event and did not drown. Witnesses said David Fuchko was struggling to climb out of the pool when he fell backwards and sank to the bottom. He was underwater for about 20 seconds before lifeguards pulled him out and began administering CPR. Emergency medical personnel who arrived pronounced him dead at the scene. Sentencing for the arsonist who set fire to the Grove apartment complex in Pullman last July will be delayed to allow insurance companies more time to calculate a restitution amount. Brian Lee Kitchen pled guilty to setting the fire that caused an estimated $13 million in damage to three apartment buildings that were under construction and almost completed. Kitchen also admitted to setting about 20 fires in Pullman over the last 10 years. Kitchen told prosecutors voices in his head told him to set the fires. The sentencing has been rescheduled for October 15th. U.S. Representative Raul Labrador of Idaho's 1st Congressional District yesterday introduced legislation that would convey 31 acres of Bureau of Land Management land above the Salmon River in Idaho County to the county so it can be developed as a shooting range. In a letter to Labrador, Idaho County Sheriff Doug Giddings called the former dump site located near Time Zone Bridge an excellent location for a shooting range. Giddings' letter said a formal range should reduce the number of complaints about people shooting on undeveloped sites around the county. Giddings told the Lewiston Tribune the county has a single small state range near Grangeville. BLM Public Affairs Officer Suzanne Ensley of Coeur d'Alene told the paper an earlier attempt to formalize the casual usage of the land as a shooting range, quote, ran into roadblocks. Ensley said Labrador had worked with her office on the legislation, but the agency doesn't have a position on the bill itself. A civil lawsuit alleging human trafficking by an Idaho company that grows Christmas trees has been put on hold while the Department of Homeland Security conducts a criminal investigation. Five Mexican men whose identities are being withheld for fear of retaliation allege they were recruited from Hidalgo, Mexico in 2012 to work for Pure Forest, an Oakley, Idaho business that grows Christmas trees, thins trees, and sprays pesticides in California and Washington. In their complaint, the men say they were promised pay of $16.47 per hour for 40 hours of work per week, along with meals, housing in trailers, and reimbursement of travel and visa expenses. The men allege they were taken to a remote location in the Sierra Nevada Mountains in California, where they slept in tents, worked 7 days a week, and were given inadequate food and water. They further allege they were required to handle toxic chemicals without instruction or protective gear and suffered burns and skin irritation. The men also said they were threatened by armed supervisors, and by the time the company deducted travel, living, and visa expenses, they earned less than minimum wage. The company said in a statement to the Associated Press the workers filing the suit were disgruntled employees and called their claims frivolous. In May, federal investigators searched a home owned by Pure Forest CEO Jeff Wadsworth in Gerber, California, taking a laptop, documents, a shotgun, ammunition, and cash. On June 26th, the civil lawsuit was put on hold for 120 days until the federal investigation is complete. Crews began work on a $4.3 million project that will rebuild the longest runway at the Lewiston-Nez Perce County Regional Airport yesterday. Next Monday, the airport will close the runway until July 29th. During that time, Delta Skyways flights between Lewiston and Salt Lake City will not operate. Horizon Air flights to Pullman, Boise, and Seattle will not be affected. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, it will be clear tonight with a low of 51 degrees. Sunny tomorrow, high 91.